Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Folks, this evening's broadcast is very special. I think it's very powerful and wonderful, but you might want to listen to it before you play it in the presence of small children. I don't think there's anything offensive, but it is a very serious and delicate subject dealing with abuse. And so you may want to listen to this before you listen in the presence of children. I think actually it would be good for children to hear this, but I want you to listen first. Folks, I'm delighted to have a very special guest in the studio with me this evening. She is a young lady I've known since she was a little girl. And she came to the ranch, she stayed at the ranch, and she graduated from our school here at the ranch. And she was beautiful when she got here, beautiful when she left, and it's nice to have her back on campus, and she's still beautiful. Emma, thank you for coming to share today. I hope that this will be a time that not only is an encouragement to our listeners, but an encouragement to you. And I appreciate your willingness to share. If you would, tell our listeners, how old were you when you came to the ranch?
Sure. Yeah, well, I'm glad to be here. First of all, thank you for having me. I was 11 years old when I first came to the ranch. I had just turned 11, so yeah, just a little girl.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I graduated this past May when I was 18. Mm-hmm. I still am 18.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I was at the ranch for about 7.5 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And during that time, a lot changed. And the most important thing was that you came to know Jesus.
That's the most important, for sure.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. Yeah, so quite the story. I went to church a little bit sometimes growing up, like whenever my aunt would take me, usually mm-hmm. Aunt Stacy. And, you know, I'd hear about Jesus sometimes. It was mostly just like little praise songs with the hand motions in Sunday school. So that was the extent of my knowledge of Jesus. And then I came to the ranch, and right from the beginning, every day, you would hear the gospel presented. Even just today in chapel, I remember just like so plainly just laid out.
And praise God.
So I've heard that since I was 11 years old. And I understood it. Like, you know, it's a story. Mm-hmm. Everyone hears it at least once in their life, usually. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so I understood it, but I didn't like, you know, I didn't take it to heart. It didn't click in my brain. But there's this one girl who came to the ranch, and she was my roommate, sweet girl. Mm-hmm. And I remember one day she gave her life to the Lord. And I was in that stage of my life, I was very focused on pleasing everyone around me because, mm-hmm. you know, the situation I came from, that's how we got around, you know, don't get on people's bad side. So I wanted to make sure everyone here knew that I was a great person, you know, wanted to make sure they knew that I was going to make it at the ranch and that I wasn't going to be like my brother Jacob who got kicked out. Mm-hmm. And that I really wanted to be here because, you know, I needed to be, and it was great. Anyway, so that student, she gave her life to the Lord, and I saw how impressed and how happy everyone around us was when she would tell people, and they'd be like, "Oh, that's great." And so I was like, 2 days later, I think it was just 2 days later, I went up to my house parents, the Pope was at the time. Mm-hmm. I was like, I would like to be saved too. Will you pray with me? And I remember Mr. Alex, he was cutting the grass at the time.
Yeah.
And I was like, I need to pull them aside and make this a big like thing. I was really good at acting. Like I feel like I could have been an actor, which I was. But yeah, so they prayed with me and I prayed the prayer, did the things. Mm-hmm. And I was like, cool, it's done. Like mm-hmm. that's that. Aren't you guys proud of me? So that was that. And then a couple years later, when the Floyds were my house parents, and we are still hearing the gospel constantly every day, and like being shown love and being taken care of. And then there's just one day, it was like out of nowhere, and I was so like, oh, distraught. You were preaching in Matthew, I believe it was, and you said the verse, like, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, didn't we do this and didn't we do this? And then you said, he'll say to them, like, away from me, you evildoers, like, I never knew you. And like at that moment, like, I just remember being like, oh my goodness, mm-hmm. like, that's going to be me. Like, that will be me if I don't, because like, I didn't want it. Like, I just did it to please everyone else.
Yeah.
And oh my goodness, like, just hearing you say those words, like, away from me, I never knew you. Like, that's the scariest thing anyone can hear, like, ever. Like, that's, I cannot imagine. But still something in me was like, well, I have to wait for Jason Floyd. Jason Floyd, like, he's the man I trust most in this life. Mm-hmm. And I was like, he has to be there. Like, I can't do it by myself. And so, oh my goodness. I do not recommend this to anyone, but I waited the whole night because he was busy the day, the whole day. And so I went to bed that night. I was like, okay, Lord, please just don't come back tonight. Praying in my bed, I was like, just give me one more day. Stupid. But then again, the next day, like the next morning, he had to take some girls to like an orthodontist appointment. But as soon as he got back, I was like, listen, like, this is important. So we went on a walk, and I just like poured out my heart, and like, he didn't even know what I was talking about at first, I think. And,
yeah.
But by the end, like, oh my goodness, such peace. And just like, I don't know. I was like, I don't want him to stay away from me. Like, I never knew you. I want him mm-hmm. to know me, and I want to know him. And so that's the day I knew him, and that it really became like, I want it and I need it. And that was that.
And he began to change you in wonderful ways.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Lots happened since then.
Yes. Now, it was after that, if I'm recalling correctly, that you began to realize and remember some other things.
That's right. Yeah. The Floyds, I felt very safe with them, like from the beginning. I didn't trust them right off the bat because I never trusted anyone, mm-hmm. really.
Let me ask before we go further, why would you not trust anyone? What you mentioned growing up in an environment where you just tried mm-hmm. not to get on people's bad sides.
Yeah.
What was going on at home before you came to the ranch?
Sure. So coming to the ranch mainly was to just, you know, be somewhere safe. That was the reason. Like, I just needed a place to grow up and be fed every day and be loved. My parents were both extremely bad drug addicts in every way, shape, and form. Mm-hmm. I was constantly just around bad people and just, you know, just such deep addiction and deep darkness all around, spiritually, mentally, like every aspect. And it goes to the point random people would be walking into my house. I remember one of my most vivid memories of that time was I was like home alone, little mm-hmm. 10-year-old, mm-hmm. completely alone, and this happened all the time, but never when I was home alone, mm-hmm. and someone just, like, walked into my house. I had no idea who that was, and he just, like, walked in, and he was yelling, and I was like, oh, my goodness, and I was hiding under my mom's bed, because I was like, mm-hmm. you know, I've seen these people get really mad. mm-hmm. I've seen them punch holes in our walls. Like, I don't want to be around that. mm-hmm. But yeah, so one of my brothers, too, he was a drug dealer, so that's why people would come in, you know, this mm-hmm. was the place to be, our house.
Mm-hmm.
So there's just a lot of deep darkness, and
so yeah. That made it hard to trust.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, you were always kind of in survival mode, trying to protect yourself. Yes. And trying to make sure that nothing really horrible happened to you.
Mm-hmm.
But meanwhile, you began to realize after you came to know Jesus that there were some horrible things that had happened to you.
Mm-hmm.
That you had not dealt with.
That's right. Yeah, I didn't. Like, I knew that it had happened. Like, it was, I don't know. Like, I must have known, you know. But
you
no
didn't
one
think
talked
about
it.
Well, and you didn't talk about it. No. And you didn't think about it.
Didn't think about it.
I talked with a victim one time who said, you don't know how hard I try every day not to remember.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. So.
What did you begin to remember at that stage?
Once I started to finally trust the Floyds, it was just like one day out of nowhere, basically, I just like remembered one of my brothers, my oldest brother, Nevin. He had sexually abused me since I was little, like early as the age of 2. And he's 12 years older than me. So I'm the only girl and I have 5 older brothers. Mm-hmm. So yeah, so that started happening at the age of 2, and that continued till I came to the ranch. Like it stopped for a little bit because he was taken out of the home because, you know, people found out. And yeah, so that's what began to happen. And I started having these memories. Like, it was almost like I was back there. Like, I had no idea I had these memories. I had no idea that they were, like, I don't even know. Like, I didn't know I could remember that far back even. But just one day, yeah, whenever I was finally able to be with someone who I really trusted, it just seemed like God was like, okay, you're ready to deal with this now. Like, it seemed, it's so cool how, like, God does that with your mind. Like, you're not, like, you can't deal with this right now. Like,
yeah.
And then finally, when you're in a place where you can deal with it and work through it and talk about it with people who you trust, then, like, he's like, he gives it to you. And he's like, you need to work through this now. Like, this is a part of your life. And so that's what happened. And I'm so grateful that, I mean, if I wanted to hold it in, I couldn't anyways, because that was the time that it had to come out.
Yeah.
And it all just came out to the Floyds that day in their office. I remember sitting there and they were listening in shock.
Yeah. And because when you came here initially, there was no awareness on our part. That was not reported as part of the case history. And so we didn't know, and we do not push and dig in order to try and get kids to say things, because sometimes, just like you professed faith in Christ when you weren't trusting him, people have been known, children and adults, to produce these memories that turn out not to be accurate, not factual. And if you push people to give you answers, confessions, all kinds of things, you'll get all kinds of lies. And then it's, you know, that's harmful, not helpful. But what you remembered was confirmed even by your brother. And I've seen a number of cases of this. In fact, one young lady who told me that her, the first time she began to remember what had happened was after her brother called her to apologize to her. And she said, I don't know what you're talking about. And said she quickly got off the phone. But then she began to remember what he was alluding to when he called to ask for forgiveness. That kind of opened the door, and she began to remember a lot of things. But now, once you shared that with the Floyds, by law, we have a protocol we have to follow. It's not just a rule here at the ranch. It is the law of the state. And so your case had to be reported immediately to the authorities, and you were brought to a place in Knoxville where, just like you told the Floyds, you had to tell all over again, but now you weren't talking to the people you loved and trusted.
You were strangers.
Yeah, and that was very painful for you.
Yes. Yeah, I remember that day like nothing else. I finally felt like I had the, like I got to the point where I could trust these people who had been in my life, and then I felt so betrayed. And I didn't realize then that like they had to. Like, I remember just being so angry, but I didn't have a choice at this point. Like, they brought me to this, I don't even know what it was, but I just remember there being like, you know, one of those plexiglass windows with people watching on the other side. And I was in this room with a lady, and they had these voice recorders, and they had like cameras everywhere. And it's supposed to be, you know, probably child friendly, and like, cause they had some stuffed animals and stuff, but I just remember it feeling so cold and just like, ugh. And she was asking me all these questions, and I'd never talked about this with anyone besides the Floyds at this point.
Yeah.
And just like, she was asking very personal and deep questions and very specific. And I had to tell her everything that I remembered.
Yeah.
And it was hard cause I still didn't remember everything because I was only getting, you know, bits and pieces by that point. But yeah, and I just felt so angry with the Floyds for doing that. But I know that, I know now that they had to, like, and that was for my sake, you know, trying to make sure that I'm safe and that that's never going to happen again. But also, like, nothing came out of that for a long time. Nothing happened. And
that's hard. Yeah. And that does, folks need to know that, that that happens. There are victims who report, the authorities are notified, and the authorities, let's just say, in part, I think, because they're inundated with so many reports, because tragically, this is an epidemic in our sick society, but they didn't get around to doing something right away. And then your brother confessed, he went to the police and confessed.
He did.
That he was molesting another child in the family.
Yeah. It was the 4th of July, I think, and he went to the police and confessed everything that he'd done, I guess, and they sent him home.
Yeah.
He had a little girl of his own, a child who had been taken out of the home, and she was adopted into some family friends of ours, but they sent him home to be with his wife, and, like, I don't understand how you can do that. Like, someone comes to you and tells you these horrific things that they've done, and they can just send you home and act like nothing happened. But I guess they were doing some investigation, and then they turned it into this huge thing. All these cops showed up to his house and like pounding on his door with like,
but that wasn't the same day.
That wasn't the same day. This was probably a week or two later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So again, we mention this not to badmouth the authorities, but simply so that people understand that it's a very broken system. Mm-hmm. We have a very broken system out there. And when people finally do speak up, whether victim or perpetrator, things still don't go clearly like they should. Mm-hmm. So I say this not to discourage people from coming forward, not to discourage people from telling the truth, but wanting to be sure that we tell the truth and that we're honest about the challenges that a person faces. Mm-hmm. Now, despite the fact that the ball got mishandled, that there was a lot of things that didn't go right, as you look back on that situation, and by the way, the reason, and I think you know this, but I want our listeners to know, the reason why they take you to a place like that by law and have you share all that and tape it and record video and so forth is so that you don't ever have to do that again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and now, and now here you are again telling your story.
Yes.
Hopefully I'm easier to talk to than the stranger in the room that day. But the reason I know about this is not because when you tell someone at the ranch, everybody at the ranch knows.
Not at all.
I didn't know.
Yeah.
I did not know. And your senior year, you came to live with my wife and me in the apartment at our home. Mm-hmm. And very early, one of the first days you were there, you came in the living room, sat down on the sofa, and began to tell me about this stuff. And I think It was evident, because I wasn't asking. You were just volunteering this, wanted me to know. I think God was doing a work there, freeing you to be able to talk about something that God is going to use in your life for years to come. Because there are so many victims, so many people who have been abused by siblings, by parents, by neighbors, by youth pastors, by senior pastors, by babysitters, by all kinds of folks, sometimes by police. But there are all kinds of folks, coaches, medical doctors, all kinds of folks who are abusers. And there are all kinds of people who end up as victims. More girls than boys, but lots of boys also. And if they hear a broadcast like this and realize, I'm not the only one. I'm not alone. And here's a person who made it through and who's able to talk about it. And I believe that that is why this conversation is important, because God wants to help other people know that there is help available. In the years that followed, as you received counseling and so forth and just continued to be loved on and learned that there are people you can trust, do you feel like you were helped?
Absolutely, yes.
Okay.
Thinking back on the 11-year-old I was when I came here and now who I am sitting here talking about my feelings, talking about what happened to me all those years ago, like, it's not what I thought I would be doing right now when I look back, like, when I look forward on my life. Did not think I'd be sitting in this chair talking about this, but, like, I'm so glad I am. Like, I hope and I believe that God's going to use this mm-hmm. and he's going to use this to help other people. And yeah, I hope that someone will hear this and will, you know.
Trust in Jesus.
That, yeah.
Now, God did something else wonderful along the way. He's done a lot of wonderful things while you've been here. But but one of the things he did was that your parents finally got in treatment.
That's right.
And tell me how they're doing at this point.
Oh, my goodness. So, yeah, we already talked about how they were drug addicts, and that went on for years while I was at the ranch. And I remember the day I went to the ranch, my mom wrote me the letter, and I still have it. I look back on it and just, like, I'm in awe sometimes and just thinking about how much it's changed. And she wrote me a letter saying, like, the day you went to the ranch is the same day mommy went to get herself all fixed up. Years later, like, we're still in the same spot, and she would call me and I couldn't understand the word she was saying, and, like, it was heartbreaking. And I just got to the point where I just wouldn't talk to her anymore.
Yeah,
because I didn't want to talk to my mom, who, like, that's not what a mother should be.
Yeah,
that's not a mother. She got into this program called Renew
several years later.
Yes. And she went on my grandma's birthday, actually. This was my grandma's wish for her birthday. She was like, go here, like, just see how it's going to be. My mom had been through many programs and left second mm-hmm. day, probably. mm-hmm. But something about this program called Renew, it's in Chattanooga. She stayed and she met Jesus. I got to see her be baptized, and she's been clean for 5 years.
Praise God.
Yeah.
I mean, that's absolutely wonderful. And later, your dad also got treatment.
Yes.
And he's doing better.
He's doing a lot better, yes. I believe my dad met Jesus. And, yeah, he went through a similar program. It's through the same church. Mm-hmm. Farm 58 is what it's called. It's a farm where men go and hear the gospel and work and, you know, just get away from all the hectic problems of life and just focus on getting better and healing and coming out of that state of mind. And he, like, once they got through those programs, like, they haven't looked back, like, nothing, you know. A lot of times people relapse and things happen, and that's mm-hmm. like, that's still, like, on my heart, like, one of my big fears. But I trust God with it, you know.
Amen.
But yeah, they've both just been growing, and I hear my dad, like, talk about Jesus and how excited he gets, like, just reading his Bible, and he's like, he wants to show us, which is crazy to me. Like, growing up, he was brutal.
Yeah.
He was not a nice man. He still has his problems. He's still mm-hmm. working. He's still growing. But it's just, like, he's a completely different person.
Praise
both of
God.
Them are, but the biggest change, I would say, is in my dad. My mm-hmm. mom's always been, you know, she loves me.
Yeah.
But crazy.
Well, your brother who abused you is still in prison.
He's in prison, yes.
And that's the way it should stay. Mm-hmm. But I want to thank you for trusting us and trusting the Lord, most importantly, mm-hmm. to share what you've been through and God's faithfulness. And I hope if you're listening right now, and you say, you know, I don't think I'd ever have the courage to tell my story. You don't have to come on radio and tell your story. But you do need to find some people that you can talk with, that you can trust. And if you want to call us and let us try and put you in touch with someone that you could go to for counsel, that you could go to for help, please feel free to call our toll-free number. We're glad to pray with you, to pray for you. If you call, you'll most likely get a recording, but we'll get back in touch and we will pray for you and try and help you find help. Emma, thank you so much for coming on the broadcast.
Thank you for having me.
Yes. God bless you. You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number. 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.